This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and Sirius XM Channel 371.
It is the Power Hour, as my partner deems it, and he's correct. Mike Young's coming up here momentarily. Head basketball coach of Virginia Tech. Of course, Wes Moore, the reigning ACC champs. Women's basketball, they've got a big one coming up tomorrow night in Columbia, taking on the number one Gamecocks. So we're going to have hoops on the brain this hour, needless to say. So, again, if you want to jump on board about any topic, you certainly can, and we'll go from there. But I tell you what, we're just getting around. Man, if you're ranked third in the country in that AP poll, it comes out in November or you get into December and you got Virginia Tech on the schedule, that's going to be a problem. Because the Hokies, they've been ruining some parties, man. There's no question.
Yeah. Let's go to Blacksburg. Mike Young is the second-year head coach of the Virginia Polytechnic Institute and State University. Good morning, Coach. How are you, Pards?
Wes, I'm great, buddy. Hope you are.
Yeah, doing well. How was the popcorn in the bubble?
Didn't have any. Kind of locked down. kind of leave your hall up there. I've never seen security like that. You're sequestered up there on the 17th floor. When they want you to go down and get a little bite to eat, they've got security everywhere. You go down and eat and head over to play, and you are in that facility, back out, back to your floor. But it was a great experience, and the organizers and everybody involved, the Mohegan Sun, could not have handled things any better. I saw Coach Bennett from Virginia there. We spoke briefly, and I've got an army of personnel and security getting us away from one another. I saw Mark Pope, a good friend at Brigham Young, and they literally almost tackled me as I approached him that BYU had just gotten into town and hadn't been tested yet. But, you know, we had an opportunity to play two games. The testing protocols and everything that we encountered up there was just first class, and we were lucky enough to win a couple. So back to Blacksburg we go, and but we had a great experience.
Sparty last year, Nova this year. That's a pretty good combination. That's a pretty good bookend for an easy early test, right? Nothing like jumping on some of those boards to find out how good you are. What'd you learn about your team with the way you won the game against Villanova?
Oh, Mark, you know, I hope that this I hope I'm feeling this way in March and April at the end of it. We went down 12 in the second half. We played good basketball. Villanova was just that much better during that portion of the game. I don't recall if I called timeout, if there was a media timeout. And I told my staff, we'll know a little bit more about ourselves, you know, here in the next 30 minutes. And right back we come. Great ball movement. We defended our tails off throughout, and we get back in it and fight and claw. And, we had some unfortunate things happen to us down the stretch. Coach won the thing in regulation. I take responsibility for that. But, a good win against a well-coached and a really nice Villanova team.
Coach, as good as the Villanova win is, and early in the season, I hate to put it this way, how important was it to come the next night and beat South Florida to validate a little bit like old golf skins game, right? You make a birdie on Saturday, you got a birdie the next hole to kind of validate what you'd done, right?
I was nervous about it, Wes. The looks on our faces when we botched that play at the end of the game and Villanova made the two foul shots, get it to halftime. We got some long faces, and to get them geared up again, and we jump out 5-0 to start the overtime period and win the game. Now you got to come back against a completely different unit in South Florida, who's big and strong and really flies up and down the floor in transition, but to handle our business and wipe the slate clean, prepare, and go out and play a good ball game. We weren't great by any stretch, but a good basketball game, and win another one. I thought, again, to your point mark. I think we learned a little bit more about our team, you know, after that outing.
Coach, I know we've only had a sample of a week of college basketball, and it's always dangerous to try to label something, whether a team's hot, whether a team's cold. It's going to be a long, crazy year, so you just got to take a deep breath and move forward. But I do think there is one thing that we have seen, regardless if it's ACC basketball or the Pac-12 or anybody else in between. If you have experience, you really have a head start. And I think you kind of saw it last night, even with Michigan State and Duke. I don't care how talented your young guys are. If you got guys that have been there, especially given how crazy this pandemic has been, it gives you a fighting chance early if you play together with experienced players. That's a big advantage to have at this stage of the season.
Mark, I think it's a huge advantage. You know, and a dumb luck that I had the opportunity to bring in three graduate transfers in Cartier Jada, who's playing good basketball for us. Cordell Pimsel from Iowa is playing well, was really good on Sunday against South Florida. And Justin Mutz, who's in our starting lineup, and had a nice weekend in Connecticut. I think the other thing, and I mean, you know, you're touching on it, that quality depth and being able to play, you know, hopefully 8, 9, 10, maybe 11 guys because, you know, as you allude to, you just don't know. And you have a couple go down for a week, 10 days, and to be able to fill in behind with kids that can play the game and know what they're looking at will be a big deal.
I'm going to guess that the last guy surprised at the start Kevin Aluma has had is the head coach. Is that about right?
No, you're wrong. I'm a little surprised. I'm not surprised by his toughness. I'm not surprised by his basketball intelligence and the number of mistakes that he covers up with sheer grit and basketball savvy on the defensive end. Fellas, he didn't score 23 points in the first, 15 games of his freshman year. He scored 6 a game his sophomore year for me. But, you know, what it speaks to is a great person that worked his fanny off in that sit-out year, and he's gotten bigger and stronger. And he's got great big, strong hands. And, how he's made his 7 of his last 8 from 3. I can go down there this afternoon before practice and watch him work out. And he might make 15 in a row, 16, 17 in a row. To see him do it with the lights on, to see him do it against, Villanova's and in South Florida's is pretty interesting. And see the evolution of a kid's game and come into his own and gain some confidence. You put up those numbers against Villanova, that'll perk you up. And proud of him, ACC Player of the Week, deservedly so. He's a good basketball player. I mean, he's really good. And a difference. We didn't have that size at 6'9", and the ability to move and pass rebound on the offensive glass last year as we do this year.
Coach, I'm not going to divulge my sources, but Wes and I had a deal last week. We did a segment where we tried to predict better, worse, or the same for each ACC team, knowing nothing. Nobody knew anything. We hadn't seen a game yet. And we got to your team, and I said, I've got some friends that are pretty tight with Virginia Tech, and they told me everybody in the league is sleeping on the Hokies, that they are going to be really, really good. Now, we got experts that come out with the polls and all that kind of stuff. And let's be frank, the media experts, and I'm not going to point fingers here, thought that you guys are a double-digit team in the league. And I know that kind of stuff, you guys are like, hey, we got to go practice. We got to figure out a way to stay healthy and go play. Not going to worry about that. But I'm sure you saw the list of where people thought the Hokies were going to be for the 20-21 season. Was there a smile on your face when you saw that, not necessarily disrespect, but maybe, hey, you guys are sound asleep on what we're building here in Blacksburg?
Yeah, that's okay. you know, that doesn't affect me. That doesn't affect our team. I've got a pretty good team. How good, I don't know yet. But we're pretty good. We can play 10 any night. We could play 11 potentially. I've got a number of kids that can shoot it. I've got a number of kids that that are about the right things. So impressed with where we are right now defensively. We're a long way from being where we intend to be, where we want to be. But this bunch will grind on you. They're unselfish on both ends of the floor. I feel good about it. But, fellas, you guys know it's December 2nd, so let's continue to move it along here and see where this thing takes us.
All right, VMI on Thursday. Then next Tuesday you get Penn State and the ACC Big Ten Challenge. And then a week after that you get Clemson. I'm guessing you kind of like after playing, what, 3 games in 5 days or something along those lines, now you get a little bit of a break to kind of build, play. That kind of suits the way you want this schedule to go, I hope.
Yeah, it does. I like we're spread out here a little bit. You know, we got our hands full with Coach Earl's VMI bunch on Thursday. And then, as you mentioned, Penn State, I know nothing about. I did have an opportunity to see Clemson play in their tournament. I forget who they played the first one. Saw some of the Purdue games.
Mississippi State.
I thought Brad's
Mississippi State and Purdue, yeah.
Really good, terrific defensively, which his teams typically are on that end of the floor. So we do have an opportunity to work on some things. We do have an opportunity to smooth some things up. I look forward to this next stretch.
Well, one last question for me, Coach. And Wes and I have talked about this almost ad nauseum since we got back in June. How I'm not sure that the regular fan understands how difficult this has been just to be in a position to compete. Forget about wins and losses a second, just to compete. Now that we've had a couple games under your belt, do you get a sense of what this is going to be like the rest of the year? Or is this a complete a pack every day we walk into a dark closet and we're just trying to do our best? I mean, do you have a feel of what this could be like in January or February, or is it too early for that yet?
I think it's too early. You know, it's so unusual. You know, we're testing, which feels like every 3 hours. You know, I talk to friends that are shut down. It's just so bizarre. You know, yesterday you're practicing and things are good and you haven't had a positive test in, you know, quite some time. And then, you know, 3 kids are sick and you're down until could conceivably be after Christmas. So you do the best you can, you hang loose, you know, and take every day as a gift. And I've got practice this afternoon. I'm fired up about that. I think we've got a real shot to play again tomorrow. I'm excited about that. And, you know, one day at a time, guys. Boy, if that's never been more true than it is right now with everything going on.
Yeah.
Well, Coach, congratulations on the good start. Enjoy practice this afternoon. The Keydets tomorrow night.
Westpac, thanks, man. Appreciate you guys. Wish you well.
Same to you, Coach.
All right, you too. Mike Young, head coach at Virginia Tech, done an outstanding job in year 2 in Blacksburg. When we come back, we got a few things. Wes Moore coming up at 9:30. There are a couple things left on the table outside of my misread of the graphics and things like that that have been a part of this program this morning.
Yeah. Before we go to break, though, Wes.
Well, I haven't forgotten you.
I do think it's important to note that to hear a coach say, hey, I really like my team. I mean, we've only gone a week into the season. And a lot of times you'll see coaches give you the whole, well, we got to get better. And Coach gave us a little bit of that. But the fact that you heard a head basketball coach who, not many people were talking about the Hokies before this thing got started a week ago, telling you, I like my team. And they've got toughness and experience and depth. And like I said, that is a key component. With if you've sampled any basketball yet, if you've got those boxes checked, that is a good thing. So, keep that one in mind, because we may be getting into January and February, and all the Virginia Tech Hokies may be sitting in that top five spot in the league, and you're going to go, where'd they come from? Well, if you're paying attention now, you'll understand. So I think that's worth noting that you heard that from the head coach.
Well, by the way, based on you revealing you've got some sort of inside source, imagine the security sweep that's going to go on today.
Sources, plural, Wes, plural.
Again, another indication of a major security breach in the Virginia Tech basketball program. A security sweep that'll be handled today. Coach Young will walk in that gym and go, all right, who's been talking to Packer?
I'm not telling you who it is.
That's all I need to know. I just saw that reaction from the head basketball coach. There'll be a security sweep for sure.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
It is a Wednesday.
How you doing over there?
I'm good.
You good?
Man.
Everything okay with you over there?
My sides hurt, man. I've been laughing too much this morning.
Why? What's happened today on this show?
You have been nothing more than entertaining, my man. I have laughed all morning with you.
Hey, by the way, did you know that all nine ACC women's soccer programs played all eight conference games this year?
Let's not do that. Let's go on. I'd rather talk about Clemson, Florida State aren't going to play on December the 12th. Let's go there instead.
No. Come on. I was going to tell you about that, but all of a sudden you told me your sides were hurting.
So. No.
All right.
I'm good.
If you missed last night, yesterday afternoon, the athletic directors of the Atlantic Coast Conference and the ACC football subcommittee, each sport within the league this year has a subcommittee. They got together. They have revamped the final weekend, if you will, of the regular season, December 12th, and also created some addendums to the 19th, including the Dr. Pepper ACC championship game at Bank of America Stadium in Charlotte. That being said, those addendums to the tail end of the regular season means that if Notre Dame A has already clinched a berth in the championship game, if Clemson beats Virginia Tech on Saturday night or Miami loses to Duke or any combination of a Clemson win, Miami loss, would put the Tigers and Notre Dame in the rematch on the 19th in Charlotte. All this was done by the subcommittee, who also, by the way, added a couple of ball games on December 12th. One involving Wake Forest, who will go to Louisville. Another one involving Florida State, who will ultimately host Duke. The Noles, who have had a hard time here in the last couple of weeks with COVID and issues and testing with opponents, not with opponents, things of that nature, finally get back on the field a week from this Saturday when they host Duke. So here's a look at not this week's schedule. This is the last 2 weeks of the season, the 12th and the 19th. And Thursday night, December 10th, Pitt and Georgia Tech, which were earlier wiped from the slate, have been rescheduled to play at Grant Field in Atlanta. Then on Saturday, Virginia Tech, North Carolina, Miami, those were already there. The two added are Duke at Florida State, Wake at Louisville. Then on the 19th, the title game is there, 4 o'clock on ABC. Florida State is going to travel to Wake Forest, who lost a home game with Notre Dame that was originally scheduled for the 12th. By the way, the Deacons go to Louisville and get a home game against the Seminoles now on the 19th. Georgia Tech, Miami will not be played if Miami qualifies for the ACC championship game. Elsewise, Canes and Jackets will get to play at Hard Rock in Miami Gardens, Florida on the 19th. So, all that aside, Clemson needs to win in Blacksburg to clinch a spot in the title game, or Miami lose to Duke or Carolina. The Tigers were to lose Saturday night in Blacksburg. Any combination of a Miami loss, be it Saturday to Duke, the following Saturday to North Carolina, would push Clemson into the title game. Notre Dame and Clemson would get the 12th off. The football subcommittee talking about the integrity of the schedule as well. Sidebar to all this, they've changed the testing for the final weeks of the regular season. The PCR-administrated ACC contract test will be done on Thursdays as opposed to Friday as well. The chief medical officers for each institution will then ratify the testing and certify the play of the two teams on Saturdays. So the results will be done before travel as well. That's probably the biggest news to the football fans of the ACC in the last month, too. So there you have it. That's the short summary of the changes made yesterday by the ACC pack.
I like it. We move on. Hopefully, knock on wood, we have games this week. Hopefully, we don't have the infamous Saturday morning headline ticker that game X has been canceled or postponed.
Right.
But I think the league did the right thing getting in front of it all. The testing protocol moving to Thursday, a lot of folks are going to sit there and go, well, why didn't you do that originally? That's what everybody else did. Hey, you know, up until the Florida State-Clemson game, there hadn't been any concerns from that perspective in terms of games that we lost on a Saturday morning, even though that was always a concern, right? That was always a conversation point. But listen, decisions are made, you deal with it, and now, hey, here it is. Thursday it is, do the test, and we go down the road, like I said.
Right. We said this in the first hour. This change, by the way, from the Friday test to backing it up to Thursday – certainly will help games that are clean be staged, okay?
Right.
Now, everybody says, well, why hadn't you been doing that all along? Make no mistake, had you done Thursday testing earlier in the season, there are some games that ultimately were played because of the Friday testing that might not have been played on the Saturday if you'd have done the Thursday testing. There are three that come to mind right now that potentially would have been in major jeopardy of even being staged had you done Thursday testing as opposed to Friday testing. Right. So it's a give-and-take deal, and the ACC's elected to make this change at the end because we have had the six-hour notification. Middle of the night on Saturday, all of a sudden Saturday morning you get notification, bang, a game gets scrubbed. Now this saves teams from having to go to site to only determine that a ball game won't be contested. So, look, it's one way or the other. They've pivoted to do the right thing to try and get us to the end of the runway, if you will, of this 2020 college football season.
You just knew it wasn't going to be easy, no matter what you come up with. And I think the league has done a great, not good, great job giving you as many games this year as we've received. We just went through the whole list with not only just football, but all the other sports as well. It's been remarkable, quite frankly. And you know what? You're going to have some stub-your-toe moments where things didn't work out, and unfortunately – Clemson and Virginia spending all the money they did to go down to Florida State. They wanted to play. I'm not buying any of this. Anybody's ducking anybody's business. Teams want to play. You've put in all this hard work. If you're Florida State, you wanted home games. That's $2 million per. They're in a position where that matters. So they want to play the games too. So at the end of the day, hopefully we get games this week. But this won't be easy either. I mean, December is going to be as rocky as anything we've seen so far. So, again, just embrace what you know you're going to get. And hopefully we get as many games in this month as possible, including a championship game here in Charlotte.
Packer and Durham. This is the Packer and Durham podcast.
Wes Moore is going to join us here momentarily, talk a little NC State women's basketball. They're off to a roaring start, eighth in the country. Road trip to number one South Carolina tomorrow, which will be a big deal. And Wes, he has done a tremendous job. And winning the ACC title last year was like just putting another stake in the ground. And hey, guess what? You know what? This is a big-time program, and he's really done an amazing job.
Yeah, no doubt. Always great to have Coach Moore join us from Raleigh. All right, 2-0. You got the world's problem solved yet?
Oh yeah, man. We're it's early. Got a lot of bumps in the road, starting with tomorrow night. So we got a lot of challenges ahead of us. And the ACC, I think, is really strong from top to bottom. So yeah, we got a long ways to go. A lot of work to do.
Before we worry about number one tomorrow night on the road, because the Gamecocks have a great program, and so do you, Coach, what did it mean winning the ACC title, big picture, in terms of the next level for the program?
Unbelievable experience. Obviously really excited for our players. We had four seniors on that team that had been through a lot, been through injuries, helped build the program, get it where it is. And so, obviously, really happy for them, but also for our fans. It'd been a long time since we'd won a championship, and with it being in Greensboro, I think there was 8,000 people there, and at least 7,000 of them were wearing red that day. It was an awesome experience. Then we got back to campus. I think about all of them had driven back to Raleigh and were waiting outside the Reynolds Coliseum when we got back. So, it's a day I'll never forget, and just very – very blessed.
Coach, I read an interesting story the other day about Alyssa Cunane and all the things that in this shutdown and the summer that was awkward and not getting a chance to play maybe as much as anybody would want to play, she tried to dedicate herself to singular improvement in her game. Through the first two ball games, it looks like that hard work has paid off. How much of conversation did you and her have about things she needed to work on? And it seems she was awfully dedicated to the project once that got started.
Well, I think a big part of it was having an off season where she could get in the weight room and put a lot of work in. And she told me she did a lot of cross training, kayaking, hiking, things like that. But, you know, she's obviously really turned into a very good three-point shooter. And there you see the baby hook. That's something that I think I've always encouraged her to add to her arsenal. I just think that's hard to defend when you're 6'5 and can protect the ball with that shoulder. She's adept at going left, right, baseline, middle. So I think that's going to be really good for her. Like I said, I think she's probably, you know, in the best condition that she's been in. She's running the floor well. You know, she's, you know, again, special player in our system. She's really critical to what we do. And again, she's somebody that continues to work. She's in here early every morning and putting the time in. And we're excited about the season for Alyssa.
Coach, I know that NC State and South Carolina announced earlier this year a football home-and-home series. And for all of us old-school ACC folks, I always like to see South Carolina and somebody from the state of North Carolina playing. I don't care what the sport is, football, basketball, baseball, whatever the case may be. And, of course, what you've built in Raleigh is out of sight. And, obviously, the South Carolina women's basketball program is terrific, too. This seems like a natural fit to play on a consistent basis. I know it's a goofy year with everything going on with the pandemic, but I always like to see these kind of games scheduled.
Yeah, we're excited about the opportunity. It's going to be, like I said, a great challenge. We were originally going to the Bahamas for a tournament. Then we were going to Florida for a tournament. Actually had two tournaments in Florida fall through. We lost the Big Ten Challenge game. Weren't able to play them this year. So we wanted to add, even though we're only playing five non-conference games, we wanted to add a big-time game and one that we hope will help us prepare for ACC play. Again, there's so many great teams in the ACC that we're going to have to prepare for. So this is one where, and also Dawn Staley's done an unbelievable job. Always respect the way she went to Temple, built a program, and then went to South Carolina and really built a women's basketball program from the ground up. And so it'll be an opportunity for us to find out where we are, a good measuring stick, you know, any weaknesses we have. I know they're going to expose them, and it's going to help us set up and get ready for ACC action as well.
You mentioned the five non-conference games. This is pretty much a battleship then sitting out in the water for you. I mean, you get not only do you get the measuring stick, but you get to kind of challenge your team to go make this upset happen too, right?
Well, yeah. Again, it's that's why you have to call it. It's a great opportunity. And, you know, it's going to be a big challenge, especially on their home court. You know, one thing here in North Carolina right now, we've been kind of the government has been kind of tight. We've only been allowed 25 fans in our home games. And, of course, that's been our players' families that we've been able to get in. It's pretty much it. Now we're going down there where I think they're allowing 3,500 into this game. So it's going to be the first time we've really played in front of a crowd as well. So a lot of things. First road game, first game, like I said, with a crowd. And then finally, first game against the number one team in the country, obviously. So it's a big, big challenge.
I know every year it's a new team. You mentioned all the senior leadership you had on last year's championship team. But I'm sure that also elevates the expectations in that locker room where guess what? You are a champion. You know, it's not, you're not having to sit there and preach about, hey, one of these days we're going to go win something. You've been there, done that. In terms of the approach in practice, given what you've accomplished from last year, the momentum this season, the whole deal, have you sensed a little difference in terms of, hey, attention to detail with the players and all that kind of stuff to make a championship team?
Yeah, what I've been real impressed with is just, you know, we kind of started early this year in that the NCAA let us start doing 12 hours a week instead of 8 hours a week in the preseason and before we actually could even start real practice. And so it feels like we've been going a while, but our kids have come in every day with a lot of energy. They've competed. I mean, practices have been very competitive. And, you know, I come in the morning. We practice in the mornings right now at about 10 o'clock. And when I come in, you know, they're out there at least an hour before, most of them getting shots up and getting ready for practice. So I love that maturity. We are going to miss those seniors, though. Obviously, Ace Koenig was MVP in the ACC tournament a year ago. She's playing overseas in Switzerland right now. And then we had three other seniors that had started at some point in their career. And due to injuries, they were now coming in off the bench for us. So a year ago, we had three seniors that were our first subs. Now we have probably three freshmen are our first subs. So that's a little scary. That's going to be a big difference when it comes to the depth.
All right. I want to ask you about, you said you got your 5-9 conference game scheduled, but you also had a couple of things fall through. We saw your colleague Coach Walls go to social media last week looking for a ball game. Did you ever think you'd have to take to Twitter to finish out those 5-9 cons?
Well, we lost a game. We were supposed to play a Sunday afternoon game, and Friday morning during practice, they came in and told me that that game was canceled, that the other team had a positive COVID test. So I think by Friday night at 8:30, we had filled that game. And so we had basically one day of practice on Saturday. I had to put together a scout pretty quick and play Sunday afternoon at 2 o'clock. So it's going to be that kind of year. Everybody's really, I think, trying to work together and make it happen. You know, now this year is a whole, now you really appreciate playing and you really appreciate games. Whereas before you kind of maybe took it for granted. So, yeah, we're probably going to be doing that all year, scrambling around, trying to adjust and move and tweak things. But at least we're playing, and hopefully we can, you know, I think our sports medicine people are doing an awesome job of keeping our kids safe and the testing that we're doing and all that. So hopefully we can continue in that trend and be able to get this season completed.
Coach, I know you're worried about your team and the health issues and everything else, but have you had a sneak preview of what's going on around the league? Has somebody jumped off the page after this just week that you say, hey, you know what, that's a pretty good win, or hey, that team looks a lot better than what I anticipated? Have you had any kind of leisurely time to just take a sneak peek around the league?
Well, what's great is now your film work is on computer. And yeah. So when you're at home watching film, and preparing scout or preparing practice plan, you can have TV on in the background, and it's usually on the ACC network because you guys do a great job of providing a lot of coverage and a lot of content that deals with women's basketball. So, yeah, I have seen some. You know, again, I obviously Louisville is, you know, they're, Jeff Wall's done a great job, and they're the team that I guess you're gunning for a lot. But then I think we got some teams, you know, I think Georgia Tech's improving a lot. I think Syracuse is going to be strong. Of course, Notre Dame is getting some of their players back. So the normal team's there. And I know I'm forgetting some, but, there's the two programs here around us are definitely trending up. So it's going to be a challenge as it always is in the ACC. And, we understand the preseason things are nice. I told our team outside expectations are great, but, we enjoy having those, but they don't help us win games. The internal expectations. So our players, our coaches, we're the ones that can affect whether we win or lose and whether those expectations live out. So, you know, we control our own destiny, and we have to go out every day and try to get better and make sure we're playing our best ball in March.
Coach, one final thought here. I know Pac and I have had this conversation before. Just how far away do you have to keep Elliot Avent from interfering with your coaching during the course of the season? Do you have to keep the baseball coach of the Wolfpack at I know social distance plays a lot in it right now, but even when we don't have the pandemic, is 20 feet about the way you figure it?
I tell you what, you know, I think it was a year or two ago, he came in the locker room. I came in our meeting room right before a game. I just sent the team up to the court, I believe, and I was in there for a few minutes. And he comes in, you know, and he's wondering why I'm so uptight and why I'm nervous and all that. Because, you know, baseball, I think he keeps his cell phone in his pocket and he's over there chilling. I mean, what do you got to do? Pinch hit every now and then, you know, change pitchers, you know, maybe a suicide bunt or something if we want to get crazy, okay? He doesn't have a clue. He's got that beach house down there. He's just living the dream. So it is. But I love Coach Avent and what an amazing job he's done with our baseball program. And I love baseball, guys. I have the MLB channel or app, whatever. So I watch baseball a lot. And he's got an unbelievable team. In fact, I was mad we didn't get the catcher, Bailey, to the Texas Rangers because
he went to America's team where he belongs, the San Francisco Giants. Yeah, those guys.
They were one pick ahead of us. Okay,
yeah, that's right.
I mean, he was right there for the taking, and the Giants swooped in and got him. And he wanted to go to the Rangers. He didn't want to go out there.
Come on. Listen, I'm not going to pull a World Series card, but I am right now because we all know what happened in 2010 when the Rangers and the Giants got together. So he wants to play for a team that's won 3 World Series titles in the last decade. That's just how it works, Coach. That's how it works. And you're in even more trouble now that Avent got an extension on his contract. So there'll be even more coaching from the dugout coming your way.
And I love having him around. And, I get to second guess him. I always stand down in the bullpen, and I try to give him signals, but he doesn't listen. But, 2011, my bucket list day, saw the Cowboys play, and then I ran across the parking lot and saw the Rangers in the World Series against the Cardinals. We should have won that one.
Should have.
Again.
There you go.
Love baseball. Love Coach Avent.
You got well. Listen. Good luck tomorrow night.
Thanks,
stay
Wes.
Safe.
Appreciate it, my man.
Hey, guys, thanks for having me on. Go Pack.
You bet. Coach Wes Moore, NC State, South Carolina tomorrow night on ESPN2 on the ladies' side.
Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Disney Spirit Award is given annually to college football's most inspirational player. Coach, team, or team. The award started in 1996. Notable former winners are 2018, y'all may remember Tyler Trent, Purdue fan. 2008, Florida quarterback Tim Tebow. This year, the Disney Spirit Award, again, it's been going since 1996, is recognizing Darian Rencher as college football. Darian Rencher is college football's most inspirational figure. He served as a powerful voice and co-organizer of the Clemson Community of Peaceful Demonstration. He helped mobilize players nationwide to rally in support of playing safely during the pandemic. Talk about blooming where you're planted. Talk about making the best of it. That's a big, big deal. All right? So, Darian, we're really proud of you, man. Really proud of you.
Class act right there. Well deserved. He is a really impressive dude, and I think we've said this many times on this show. If I was running a business out there, I'd hire this guy yesterday. He is a first-class guy. He is sharp, handles himself with class, understands the big picture, gives back to the community, and just a really, really well-deserved win right there for Darian Rencher. I'm happy for him. Big time.
Yep. We will have Darian Rencher with us tomorrow on this show. Second time we've had him, and look forward to the visit as always. And you're right, Pike. He is as impressive a figure as college football's had in this 2020 season, and really doesn't have anything to do with him running the rock, although he can do that too.
Yeah.
Look forward to visiting with Darian tomorrow, along with Steve Forbes as well, Wake Forest basketball coach, who joins us again on Packer and Durham, along with some other fun things on Thursday. And we'll do some circus tricks in relation to math, too. Well, let's go. We're not getting you out of here.
Let's keep the sharp objects out of the room when it comes to that. But just real quick on the Disney Spirit Award, Darian's not the only ACC guy that's won this. Our very own Mark Herslick took care of business and won that. James Conner, legendary running back for Pitt. There's the list right there. This is a big deal. You know, we talk about wins and losses with games and all that stuff. This goes beyond that. This is understanding how the world works and how you can have an impact on society and so forth. And again, Darian Rencher and Trevor Lawrence joined us together the last time we had those guys on, and we're talking about all the social and racial issues taking place in the country and what they were going to do. This is a really, really impressive guy, and I'm glad that we're going to have him on the show again tomorrow. He is a easy person to root for.
You bet. Real quick, we're not getting out of here on a Wednesday without fan accounting, by the way. We've held off to the final segment. Mike Ulitz is this week's winner of fan accounting. Oh. Why? Because 15. He went 15 on us.
Oh, no.
Justin Fuente's water bottle is 15. Notre Dame, Clemson, Carolina, Wake, Boston College, NC State, Virginia Tech, Pitt, Virginia, Georgia Tech, Louisville, Duke, Syracuse, 14. Justin Fuente's water bottle, 15. Florida State, 16. That is funny.
Well, if you caught yesterday's show. I like it. Again, it's all about the fans. Hashtag Packer and Durham. You can participate. Simple as that.
Yeah.
That's good.
A couple of other things to pass along. There is a movement, Pack, to have the first ever car race on the surface of the moon.
Sure.
In 2021.
Yeah, I'm all for that. In fact, it's long overdue. Now that we've got the protocol figured out to do ACC football testing on Thursday, the next thing we really need to do is have an automobile race on the moon. Because I was just thinking the other day, I got out of bed and I said, Amy, I got this idea. And she goes, what's that? You're full of ideas. I said, I know. Some of them are good, some are bad. How about we figure out a way to have an automobile race on the moon? Yeah, that's a great idea. I'm all for that. You know, we got all kinds of issues. We're going through a pandemic. We're trying to find some kind of vaccine so we can kind of get back to normal. I think we should spend some time and some money on having car racing on the moon. I think that's just a brilliant idea. Really great. How about you,
Wes?
You're
not excited then? Is that what you're saying?
I think it's a tremendous idea. I just think, as soon as I get done with this show, I'm going to start helping the ESPN stats department come up with that homework assignment you gave us, and then I'll start working on car racing on the moon. I mean, what is going on here? Seriously. I mean, have we knocked out everything on the to-do list to get to car racing on the moon? I mean, I'm still trying to figure out how North Carolina lost by double digits and moved up two spots. I'm still trying to figure out how the Georgia Bulldogs, with their resume, could be in the top 10.
Right.
Now, in fact, it may be easier to put a car race on the moon than it is to figure out how Georgia's in the top 10 in the college football playoff.
That's right.
Because I have no earthly idea how that's happened. Got no idea.
I like it.
No idea.
By the way, there's more basketball on ACC Network later today. 6 o'clock, you'll get South Carolina State at Clemson. 8 o'clock, North Florida is at Florida State. Duke lost last night. North Carolina, Virginia, and Louisville were winners in ACC basketball. But a doubleheader 6 and 8 tonight on ACC Network on the men's hoop card. There are also 3 women's games on the schedule. You can see those on ACCNX, available through the ESPN app. Thanks to Kelly Gramlich. Mike Young, Tim Hasselbeck, Wes Moore, great as always. Good to have those folks with us today. Tomorrow, Darian Rencher, winner of the Disney Spirit Award. And Wake Forest basketball coach Steve Forbes, with a couple games under his belt, he ought to be ready to ride tomorrow for us, Pack.
Tune into Packer and Durham weekday mornings from 7 to 10 Eastern for the best conversations about everything from the ACC. Find it on the ACC Network, SiriusXM Channel 371, and streaming on the ESPN app.